Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Business owners, meet Progressive Insurance. They make it easy to get discounts on commercial auto insurance and find coverages to grow with your business. Quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It is that time of the year when we're in the run-up to communion, which also prompts debate among many parents as to whether they want to do it at all. But if not opt out, then perhaps something else. Aoife Curran Butler is a celebrant who has developed what she calls the Age of Reason ceremonies, or Ishna Krishna. Aoife, good afternoon.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Explain to us, and I suppose first off, this is open to anyone, whether they're of religious belief or not.
Absolutely. It's a non-religious celebration. It's fully inclusive of all children, of all faiths and none.
And how did you go about developing it? What elements did you want in it?
So I wanted to create an inclusive non-religious ceremony through meaningful preparation by the child and their adults to celebrate a child's rite of passage from that stage of early childhood into this developmental term that we know as the Age of Reason.
And how did you go about doing that?
Well, I'm a primary school teacher over 20 years now, so I built up plenty of skills of working with groups of children and creating meaningful events. So I was sort of leaning on a lot of those skills.
Okay. And could you give us an example of what you mean by meaningful events?
So you mentioned there that parents are looking, you know, to replace maybe a religious ceremony with something else. And there have been Age of Reason ceremonies have popped up throughout the country. But I suppose with my work with children, I kind of understood that you can't just drop a child into a ceremony and expect them to take part in a meaningful way. There's, you know, there's preparation, there's expectations, there's management involved there in terms of readiness and helping them to understand what it actually is that they're celebrating. So I wanted to develop a program that led into the ceremony, and I have begun my training with an organization called Entheos, and they're a national group that trains celebrants around the country to hold various ceremonies, including weddings, funerals, baby naming ceremonies, and all the other milestone ceremonies that we're beginning to become familiar with. So they supported me as I developed that, and I ran the program Ishna Kusha up here in Dundalk last year to great success. And we have another program running this year now, and we also have programs running throughout the country. In fact, we've just finished one over in Galway, run by another of our lovely Entheos celebrants, Maeve Bryan, and that was a beautiful ceremony. So yeah, things are taking off now, and the demand is increasing for this.
Yeah, and about what age then would kids do this?
So in the Age of Reason is actually a child psychology term, and we know that around the age of 7, or give or take a year, children enter a developmental phase known as the Age of Reason. So it refers to the developmental, cognitive, emotional and moral stage in which children become, you know, more capable of rational thought. They have internalized conscience. have better capacity to control impulses, you know, than in early childhood. So we're looking at children who are around the age of 7 or 8, so typically in second class and primary school.
And the and so when the child says, "Why am I doing this?" What's the answer to the child?
Well, the whole thing comes about with the relationship between the parent and the child. And, you know, many parents, I suppose, they're celebrating their own milestones in a different way now. So they're having non-religious wedding ceremonies, and then, you know, their families are growing and they want to welcome the new baby into the family or the new child into the family. And they have a baby naming ceremony or a welcoming ceremony. And I suppose parents are then realising, well, that's it. There is no other ceremony as such until this person is potentially an adult, maybe having a wedding ceremony themselves. So we think parents have been looking to honour, which we already know is a huge developmental milestone in a child's life. So parents are having that conversation with their children. We know that children want to be seen. They want to be heard. It's very important that they get to have their moment as well. And you know, it's certainly not a replacement, but they are looking at some of their peers, you know, celebrating their other milestone ceremonies through their faith path. And this is all encompassing of all children. So it's to celebrate that milestone in all children.
Yes. Okay. But it's not. But it could be interpreted by a child as, you know, Mary, who sits next to in class. She's getting communion, so you're getting this.
Well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Certainly for us as a family, that it wasn't about that. It was making a commitment to our child, because, you know, we understand that, you know, children crave to be seen and heard, as I said, and that attachment and to have a sense of belonging. And when they get to have a chance to be celebrated by their family and their community, you know, most children are going to lean into that, certainly.
Yeah. So in the run up to the day, could you talk us through what kind of some of the preparation is?
Sure. So first of all, we meet as a group of adults and we discuss what we're aiming to achieve, and then we come back together on another day with the children, and we have a sort of an informal social gathering. Last year we had a beautiful event where we went up to Newgrange and we planted trees with the Handmade Soap Company. They were calling out for volunteers to come together, so some form of bonding sort of experience for the group, because sometimes these children are coming from maybe different schools or different areas within the town. So then we have three workshops. The first workshop is looking at the child's life up until this point. And through all these workshops, I'm using the themes of nature and Irish mythology, a little bit of mindfulness, and certainly a lot of parent and child bonding to explore these themes. So we look at the theme of the past, and we get the pairs to consider the timeline of the child's life up until this point and, you know, where it has brought them to. Then our next workshop, we focus on the present. So we look at the various parts of the child, their skills, their traits, their interests, their hobbies, all of the things that make them who they are. And then our last workshop, we focus on the present. So we look at maybe the ways in which a child can have more responsibility over their future. And we know through the Age of Reason that children are developmentally able to understand stepping into this sort of cognitive skill. So we look at, you know, how they can develop their goals and aims and what practical steps they can take to reach those hopes and those dreams. So all the while, we're getting to know each other, and we're learning about, you know, the idiosyncrasies of each child, what their interests and talents are. And as a celebrant, then I work with the families and I put together a ceremony, and that's celebrated then on a separate day where the children get to invite their family and friends to come and bear witness to them moving through this this threshold into the age of reason.
Yeah, and the ceremony itself, does that have a set form, or does that kind of vary from family to family?
Well, certainly the ceremony will be written as the group sort of unfolds. So I know the group that I'm working with this year, I already know that the ceremony is going to be slightly different because of the children that are involved. So, but typically we would have, a welcome and an introduction. And I'm very conscious that there will be people there that won't maybe understand or won't have had any experience of this Age of Reason type ceremony before. So I give a little bit of an explanation about that. We light candles for our ancestors. So we're acknowledging where we've come from to where we are now. We have very much a lot of family participation through reading, poetry, music. We have a lovely symbolic gesture where each child at the beginning of the program is gifted a piece of driftwood. And for each of their workshops, they've tied a piece of ribbon on to acknowledge that they've moved through these stages. So we invite their guests to come and tie a piece of ribbon onto their driftwood to acknowledge their presence there in the ceremony today, and for them to sort of take a moment to channel their hopes and dreams for that child in tying a piece of ribbon on the driftwood. It's a beautiful part of the ceremony. The children themselves will write a lot of the ceremony with me. They'll give an overview to their guests of what they did through the workshops. I'll invite the parents to read a little message to their children. The children write their own little vows of sort of promises that they want to make to themselves within the next year. And they're presented with a butterfly pin, which represents their transformation from early childhood into this, you know, this pre-adolescent time. And then the final part of the ceremony is where the children take the light themselves from the ancestral candle and they light their own candle. And that's showing everyone a sense of the responsibility that they've stepped into.
Yeah. And does that typically take place in the home, or do people choose a venue for this?
So currently I have been training celebrants throughout the country for ENTHEOS, and they'll be holding these workshops and ceremonies in their own areas. So I suppose it's for each celebrant and the family to work together to develop the programme in a way that's meaningful for them. So for myself up here, all of the workshops are based outdoors, and the ceremony has also been based outdoors because it's part of my, part of my intent that I wanted to be connected to nature, because that's one of the skills that we're teaching the children, is that they can listen to nature, and in doing so they can listen to themselves, because most of what they need is inside of them.
And invariably, now I assume this might be a how long is a piece of string question, but generally speaking, how much does one of these ceremonies cost? People are texting to ask.
We're looking at groups of no bigger than, say, 10 children, to keep the group small, to keep it sort of meaningful. So in order to sort of balance that ratio, we're looking at the region of about €100 per family. And that includes the three workshops, the ceremony, the information session, the social event, and all of those bits and pieces. And just to say as well that, ENTHEOS, who have raised this to a national level, they are a self-funding organisation. They're not for profit, and they have lots of community initiatives. And so we need to ensure that celebrants obviously are paid too. But I would also say that no family will ever be excluded because of finances. So we look to and we strive to include all families, regardless of means.
Okay, Aoife, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Aoife Curran-Butler there, a celebrant, as you've heard, of those Age of Reason ceremonies. One texter says, if you don't want to do communion for your child, then don't. They don't need a replacement day. I think it's a bit much. Though somebody else says, my daughter was excluded when she didn't make her first communion and her confirmation. Honestly, something like this would have been great to have. Somebody else says, celebrating our son's life in May. He's 9. Non-Catholic ceremony to celebrate his life. It's organised by the school. Fantastic idea. Although this should be set up in all schools. Not all are religious. Never mind Catholic. Well, indeed, there was an interesting stat cited in the Sunday Times of the week when they said around 4 in 10 couples who got married in Ireland in 2023 had a Catholic ceremony. So, if you like, 60% didn't have a Catholic ceremony, and we will in time. Well, we probably will in time see a knock-on of that, but it'll probably be more gradual, I'd be guessing. I like this idea. I always find it so strange when people make a big song and dance about not getting married in a church, but then they have a big christening for the child. So many people criticise the church on the one hand and then are active participants on the other. Or they get them christened so they can get them into the local Catholic school rather than perhaps, you know, driving them for half an hour to some other school that's miles away from where they live. I don't think the children have any interest in the religious side of the day. My work colleagues and neighbours moan about having to take their children to Mass in the lead up to the day. No, they probably don't. It's more about memories for them, really.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Business owners meet Progressive Insurance. They make it easy to get discounts on commercial auto insurance and find coverages to grow with your business. Quote in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.